Good morning. Let me introduce you to my mom. No. Wait. Because you don't know why you're clapping yet. What I love about that video is it's all about how moms have a unique opportunity to be a portrait of God in a way that nobody else can. And so I wanted to tell you about some examples from my own mom of times that she's been a portrait of God as a way of kind of introducing her this morning. So one of those is that she's so good at giving other people the benefit of the doubt. There's this verse in 1 Corinthians 13, which is like the love chapter, that says love believes all things. It gives people the benefit of the doubt. And my mom is so good at believing other people for having good intentions. And so that's one way that she's been a portrait of God to me. And the other is something that she does that I don't think Jesus would ever actually do, because I don't see Jesus as needing to apologize for anything. But mom, you are so good at admitting when you've made a mistake and just being really forthright and saying, hey, I'm sorry, I screwed up there. And that was a way that I think you really exemplified the humility of Jesus. Not that Jesus would have to go around and apologize for anything, like I said. But so there's just a couple ways that I see you as being a portrait of God for me in my life. So with that being said, my mom.
Thank you. And I was going to say, there can be another way to phrase that. Believing the best in people could also be gullible. It's like, is that a good quality?
Oh, man. The reason we wanted to share my mom with you guys this morning as Northwood Church is because she's got a really unique experience as a mom. She's been a biological mom one time. She's been an adoptive mom four times, and she's been a spiritual mom countless of other times in people's lives. So you've just got a really cool, unique experience as a mom that we felt would be really helpful for everybody in the room here to kind of get to hear from an experience. So why don't we start out by you just walking us through what your journey of motherhood looked like. How did you become, let's say, start with a biological mom. How did you become a biological mom?
Okay, well, I want to start out by saying, I did not go on this journey alone, so I want to acknowledge Barry over there. that everything I share this morning is a joint story that we have shared, but I'm sharing from my perspective what God's been doing in my heart and life. So as some of you who were here a few weeks ago and know from Isaac's story, we hopped into parenthood pretty unexpectedly. Barry and I got married right after college, and for the first 9 months of our marriage, I was having health problems. I had a tumor in my back and was having surgeries and bed rest and back to work and back to surgeries. And it was kind of a long journey. And the point we were at was we were waiting to go to Mayo to find out how we could stop that process. And in the midst of that waiting time, found out that I was pregnant with Isaac. And of course, from our human perspective, that was not a great time to be having a baby. So we were thrust pretty unexpectedly into parenthood, and God was really gracious and protected him and protected us during that time. And then after he was born, I had radiation treatments, and it destroyed the tumor, but it also destroyed my reproductive system. And so as much as we weren't ready to start parenthood, we didn't really feel ready to end that journey either. So we started looking into adoption as kind of the next step for our family.
Yeah, and if you guys were here a couple months ago when I shared my faith story, maybe you heard slightly different details, but once again, I want to say thanks to you and to Dad for the decision to go through with a pregnancy that had some serious potential costs and actual costs. Yeah. So I'm just grateful to be up here and be alive this morning, so thank you guys. So you've been a biological mom one time, you've been an adoptive mom four times, so tell everybody here about my siblings sitting over there and how they came
they
to be
wave.
A part of my family. Hey.
Yes. I think it's really cool that you guys are highlighting New Life, because we actually, two of our four adopted children were adopted through New Life. When Isaac was two, we adopted Grace, who's over there. And Grace, her birth mother was pretty young, but they were a Christian family and really wanted Grace to be raised in a Christian home. So she was born here in the Twin Cities and brought her home from the hospital, and we've had an open relationship with her birth family throughout her life, which has been a cool blessing.
Yeah, I even remember like almost annual trips to Chuck E. Cheese with her birth family at times, which was tons of fun.
Yeah, they were great. Yeah. And then when Grace was five and Isaac was seven, we were in the adoption process again, and we adopted Will. And Will was also born in the Twin Cities, but his birth parents were Somalian. So we actually do not have an open relationship and don't know a lot about them. But that was just a different adoption experience than the first one. And then when Will was 2 and Isaac was 9 and Grace was 7, we adopted from Liberia, and we had Kate and Anna join our family. And as I told them before, we're at 5 right now. We think that's it, but you never know.
I said in the first service, Jen and I might beat you guys to the next kid
and
in
we're
our
kinda
family.
We're kind of hoping you
Who
do.
Knows?
We're good with that.
Yeah, so that's my family. You've also been, as we said earlier, you've been a spiritual mom. And that might be kind of a new concept for people in here. So why don't you tell us about maybe what a spiritual mother is, or maybe some examples of times that you've been a spiritual mom, to give us kind of a category for what that means.
Sure, yeah. For me, being a spiritual mom, it can also be called discipleship or mentoring. It's being in a relationship with someone else where I'm walking in faith and just learning to follow Christ, and I'm walking alongside someone intentionally. And a lot of times they've been people who are younger than I am. But it was modeled to me by my own mom and and my mother-in-law and other women. When Barry was a youth pastor, we had kids in our youth group whose mothers became these older friends to me, and I was able to watch how they went through situations in their life and how faith impacted their decisions as moms and as wives. And so that's what it's been for me. And you know, when I was in high school, I led a Bible study of some girls that were a little bit younger than I was. And then in college, I was an RA. And then when we got married and Barry was a youth pastor, I started meeting regularly with a group of girls. And just, you know, sometimes we would go through a book, but a lot of times we would just share what's God doing in your life, what's been going on this week. We would pray together. Sometimes we would go through a book of the Bible or something and just kind of try to learn how to walk in faith together.
Yeah. And I know when we were in college, Jenna approached me and was like, I really need a mentor right now in this season of my life, because all the people I know are other college students. And so, you know, I said, my mom's pretty cool. You should meet her. And I didn't plan on saying this, and then I said it in the first service, so I feel like I have to say it again.
Yeah.
But you started meeting with Jenna before we were even dating, the first time we started dating, then we started dating, and then we broke up. And you guys just kept meeting, and it's like you guys just had your own separate relationship where you were kind of being kind of a spiritual mom to her. And then thankfully we started dating and got married again, or it would have been maybe a little bit awkward.
Yeah.
But you know,
that
I know she really appreciated that. And I think what's encouraging about this concept of being a spiritual mother for this morning is that everybody in here can relate to what we're going to be talking about, what you're going to be talking about mostly, about being a mom, because these concepts are the same for anybody who's investing in somebody else. And we all have that call on our lives to make disciples and to pour into other people. So these principles that you're going to be talking about apply to biological moms, but they also apply to spiritual moms, spiritual dads, biological dads, anybody, you know, brothers and sisters, anybody who's pouring into somebody else, these principles apply to, and that should be all of us. So I'm really encouraged by that. So that being said, if we only had 2 minutes this morning to talk about what being a mom was all about, what would be your big picture that you'd have to jam into 2 minutes for us?
As we were talking and preparing, I said, I feel like God's just teaching me the same lesson over and over in different ways. And that lesson is learning to listen to his voice and learning to surrender to him as my leader. And during the first service, it kind of came up to me, too, that has to involve, I have to trust the person that's leading me. And I think that's the key, is that God is trustworthy and that my job is to learn to listen and to submit to him. And the picture that kind of came to mind is the idea of a group project. And, you know, it would be God and me and Barry and our kids or our kid, whoever's in that relationship. And so I was thinking about it, I was like, I hate group projects. It's not that I don't like people, but it's really hard to work with a group of people and get a common vision for what you're trying to accomplish. And it's hard when you have a group member who maybe doesn't do great work, or you have to wait on the timing of when they get their piece done so you can do your piece. And it's like, it's not fun. I would rather do my own work and have my work reflected in my grade. and to have a grade that comes because of everybody's work is really tough. So that part has been difficult for me. A verse that has helped me with just learning to trust God is John 10, 27 through 28. And God says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." And another one, I forgot this in the first service, but Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. And I shared this at your wedding when you asked me to share something that meant something to me. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. And they've meant something to me because they keep reminding me whose will we're trying to accomplish, who I should listen to, what my heart should be thinking and feeling, and what my mind should do. It just puts God in his place as the group leader, and I'm a member of the group with some roles to play.
That's the 2-minute big picture. Yeah, that's
I think
so
that was
good.
5 minutes.
that's totally fine. Yeah, and that's true in every situation of life, right? The end goal is to let God be more and more in control of our lives. So as we talked about that as it relates to parenting, we came up with 3 kind of locations or categories where you kind of discovered this principle of needing to surrender to God. Mm-hmm. And the first one was timing. So yes. Tell us about how you had to surrender to God's timing.
Well, I think we kind of alluded to in your birth story, when I became a parent was totally something that God directed, because I don't think Barry and I had a 5-year plan to have kids, you know, a year after getting married, a year and a half after getting married. Really understanding that God plans life and that he understands exactly which days are planned for us was really a concept he hit home, that, you know, he planned this pregnancy, and because of that, I can trust that it's good timing, even though it didn't seem like good timing to us. So that was a lesson that we just learned right away. Mm-hmm. Also the fact that we didn't get to have more biological children, you know, that God's timing for that season being done was also good. You know, it's hard when you feel like that choice is taken away from you, but to realize, you know, he knows, and this is what his plan was, and the time is starting, and then the time is ending. And so that was really critical for us. Another time that we really had to trust God's timing was in the adoption of Grace. So we brought her home from the hospital, you know, fully ready to have our family expand, and her birth mother was very willing to sign the paperwork, and her birth father said, "This isn't going to happen." And so we brought her home in uncertainty and not really knowing, you know, is she going to be our daughter, or are we just taking care of her, or how is this working? And by the time she was about 6 months old, I think God had brought me to some peace that he had her days planned out, and that for each day that she was in her home, I was called to be her mom, and that I didn't know how long that would last. And it ended up being about 2 years before we actually got the adoption finalized, and we kind of knew, yeah, she's a whole, she's going to be here for the long haul. And
yeah, that's such a cute photo of that.
Yeah, it was us with the judge. So that was obviously a really happy day to have a little more certainty, but you know, we also had to learn there's no certainty. We don't know how long any of our kids are going to be with us or how long we're going to be called to be a parent to them. So to embrace it for each day that God gives you was a lesson he was teaching me there.
Yeah. And that's like a lesson that I've totally, being one of your kids, have just seen in you and Dad. I'm thinking specifically of a time when my dad decided to step down for being a pastor, and you guys didn't necessarily have this like next step lined up, and you just felt like God is calling us into this at this time, and it wasn't really like a rational-based decision. It was a faith-based decision of just trusting that the Lord had a plan and a timing for that plan, and you were just going to follow that. So I just want to affirm that that's like something I've seen in you guys throughout your life, and gotten even discipled and mothered by just getting to watch you guys put that into practice. Yeah. You're going to say something?
Oh, I was going to say, Psalm 139 has been really helpful for me over the years as we've been adopting. And, you know, sometimes kids are like, well, why was I born in this family? And now I'm raised in this family. And just, you know, Psalm 139 starts out with how God just knows us intimately. And he knows when we rise and when we sit down, and he, you know, there's no place we can go from his spirit, and he understands our thoughts and our words before we say a word. And then toward the middle end of it, it says, "Each day planned out for me was written in your book before even one of them came to be." And so to understand the sovereignty of God in those plans has been really helpful to know that I can live in the day he's given me with whatever it looks like.
Yeah. So that's so crucial to just surrender to the Lord's timing. Another area that we talked about was the results. And this is maybe even like the scary thing to talk about. And it's the thing kind of in the back of everybody's mind when they're thinking about parenting is you want to be a, quote, successful parent. And I think typically we want to judge our parenting based on the results of our kids. And I don't know that that's maybe the right way to look at successful parenting, but it's definitely the way that we want to naturally do it. So how have you learned to submit to God and surrender to God when it comes to the results of parenting? Yeah.
Still learning. We had a pretty practical result that didn't turn out the way that we wanted it to. When we were in the process of adopting Will during that time period, we were chosen by a Kenyan couple to adopt their baby. They were students here in the U.S., and we brought her home and, you know, had been praying for and planning for and investing in this adoption, and we had her for 1 week and then got a call that her grandmother wanted to raise her, and so we brought her back to the agency, and that was definitely not the plan or the result that we had thought was going to happen with this whole process. And I would say I could still say I don't know that I know why God allowed that. I do know 4 months later we ended up adopting Will, and we wouldn't have had Will if that adoption had gone through. So I see God's plan, but I still don't always understand why he lets us go through the things he does. And those are the times you just have to trust that God has a reason for letting you experience the things you do and go through the things that you do.
And that whole experience was pretty raw for us, and I was just old enough to kind of remember that. But, I was like only 7 years old when that happened. But what we got to see out of that was the results for what our family looked like. But we didn't get to see what the results of her family looked like. And it could be that, the Lord had his own plan for Faith and her future with her family, and I'm sure that she, that's been really healthy for her. And I think it's always good to step back and broaden your perspective to see how the results could look differently for different people in sometimes situations.
And just like we couldn't plan the results of our adoptions and when they happened and how permanent they were. In just parenting day to day, there's so many results that I can't control as a parent. And I think God's brought me to understand it's not my job to control the results. 1 Corinthians 13, I think it's 6 and 7, says, I planted the seed and Apollos watered, but God made it grow. So the one who planted nor the one who watered is anything, but only God who makes things grow. And that's been a hard lesson because I like I said, I like to see my work and then the results, and that's a piece I can't control.
And I think that's like something I want to acknowledge too quick is that's a lie that a lot of people believe, and it's a lie that Satan uses. I think Satan tries to shame us as parents or people who invest in other individuals based on the behavior and lifestyle of those individuals. So I think the devil wants you to feel shame for somebody else's action. And what we read here is we do have a responsibility to our kids or to people who we're mentoring or investing in to plant seeds and to water. But at the same time, we're not anything. It's only God who makes things grow. So you are accountable for your actions and your influence and the way that you invest in other people. But at the end of the day, you are not accountable for their lifestyle. So don't be discouraged if you're not seeing results that you wish you were seeing. And don't think, oh, it's my fault. I just shouldn't do this because what I'm doing isn't working. Because at the end of the day, it's what God's doing that, and he might have a different perspective on when results come or how they come. So I want to free some of you in here who maybe you're thinking, I'm tired of investing because I don't see the results. Because it's not your job at the end of the day to produce results. It's your job to be faithful in investing in people. So I wanted to make sure that we all heard that too. And
I was going to say, we've had to come to peace too as parents to think through, not every seed grows too. And what do we do if that's the case? You know, we still have to water and we still have to plant and love and encourage and walk with Christ, but only God knows at what point that seed germinates or if it germinates at all. And to be okay with his plan and to also know he never stops pursuing, he never stops working. And so to keep having that hope that in his time he's going to produce the work that he has planned, you know, each day that's laid out, he already knows. And so to wait for that and trust.
Yeah, yeah, that's so good, to just trust God for the results. And then the third thing that we talked about was the process, which some of this stuff all overlaps of timing, results, and process. But talk about maybe times where God had a different process in mind than you, or what it looked like to submit to God in terms of the process of parenting.
Yeah, well, I go back to like with spiritual parenting. I just really like to walk in relationship with people, and I think there's a lot of really good studies and discipleship programs that you can use. I've just tended toward relationship where we get together and, you know, what's been actually happening in your week, and then what has God been stirring in you about that, or what do you think he's trying to teach you? Grabbing his word and just going through a section of that together and praying together. So just walking in faith that way. But I found as a mother to my biological and adoptive kids, man, I feel more of that pressure to use something. And we talked in the first service, like Awana, and there's, are you doing family devotions? And are you having mother-son dates or mother-daughter dates? Mm-hmm. And, you know, are you taking them to youth group? And are you doing all these things? And they're great things to do, but at the end of the day, they're tools God gives us.
Yeah.
And the most important thing that he gives us is himself, to raise our kids. And so he's teaching me to learn to listen to him and let it be an interactive relationship where he's, you know, telling me specifically about my kids. And, you know, Psalm 139, again, when it says he knows our thoughts before we even think them, and he knows our words before we speak them, and he understands the motivations in our hearts. And it's good for me to know he knows that about me, but to translate that and go, he knows that about my kids. So if he knows all of that, of course he wants to share it with me. Doesn't he want me to know this person that he's created who I'm parenting, you know? And so I've been asking more that he helps me understand that. And one time it was a really clear example to me was when Grace was probably middle school-ish age. And I was just really longing to see spiritual growth and wanting to just know that she had a heart for God, and I was like, oh, should I do a Bible study with her? What should I do? And I was trying to think of what tool to use, and God just kind of, I felt like he just impressed on me, just wait, just watch and see. And I started watching her and thinking about you. And as a kid, you were very like, this is right, this is wrong, okay, I want to choose this, and how do I grow? Okay, I should do this. Very just linear that way. And I started watching Grace, and she just gravitated toward, when I was hanging out with certain friends, she would just gravitate toward us. And, you know, other friends, not so much, but I was like, okay. And I just noticed those friends were, they were truth speakers in her life. You know, they would kind of call things out, but they also would just laugh at stuff that made me go, oh, I can't believe she did that, you know. And they just would laugh, and they delighted in who she was. And it was like God just turned on a light and said, you know, he's drawn by the thought process, but she's drawn by relationship. When she sees that somebody delights in her, she runs to them, and she wants that relationship. And so realizing that for her, being drawn to faith was going to look differently than it did for you. Mm-hmm. And for Kate and Anna, they hated Awana. And I remember just being like, oh, no, they have to get God's word in their heart. We have to go to Awana. And a friend of mine said, well, can't you do it a different way? It's like, I don't know, can you? And we ended up getting a CD with verses on it, and we played it at night, and we'd just sing them together, and God's word was in their heart. I said, I don't even know if they know that they're all verses, but they know songs that are God's word. And so just learning to listen to his voice and his leading as he does the work to draw them has been really powerful.
Yeah, and I was thinking about a couple of things as you were saying that as we were preparing this, is that you've got five children and only two of them have any sort of biological connection. So it would just make sense that your kids would process the Lord and need to be discipled differently. Mm-hmm. And Elizabeth was even saying, I'm going to call you out, that, you know, even for kids who are all biological, there's so much difference from mm-hmm. person to person with the way that we interact with the Lord and the way that we are drawn to him. And as you look back in the Gospels and you see how Jesus is interacting with different people, he's not always doing the same thing with every single person he comes into contact with. There's not like a one-size-fits-all method to discipling people and pouring into people. That's just not how it works, and I don't think mm-hmm. it's changing here in 2019 after it hasn't been that way for so long, you know?
Yeah, that's really true.
So we're in the middle as a family of being in process in a way with my brother, and that's something that's still going on. So I guess speak a little bit about what's going on currently in our family.
So we have 4 of the 5 kids here today. Our 16-year-old Will has been away since November. He got involved in drugs and some of the traps that kind of go along with that. And as parents, you know, obviously it's a really hard road because you're praying and, like I said, you're investing and you're, you know, there's been times Barry and I have looked at each other and said, oh, we should have done Growing Kids God's Way. You know,
we just didn't use the right curriculum, then everything
yes.
would be perfect.
Yes. But we were really, like I said, learning to listen and learning to trust God. We really were praying that God would show us what's the next step because, you know, we've tried this and done that. And it was cool because, I mean, in God's time, it took a while, but when the time came, it was all in one day. We had been praying, and we'd ask God to show us through some of the counselors we were talking to who've experienced some of this. They know more than we do, and 2 of them in one day said, you know, he needs to be in a new environment, and he needs something longer term. This short term here isn't going to really be effective. And the same day, we got a call from a residential treatment place that originally said it's going to be like 5 weeks, and they said, you know, we can take him in 3 days. And we just felt like God really clearly closed a couple doors and opened a door and just led us to that. And it's not the next step we probably would have taken on our own. But his leading was really gracious and clear. And Will is not actually at that place anymore. He needed to go to a place out of state. And the difficult part is, I wouldn't pick that. You know, when I listed tools like Awana and Violence, you don't list exile, you know, to another state as a tool. But, you know, I also thought God does that. You know, he did that with the Israelites. He pursued them and he brought prophets. But then eventually he did allow them to be taken away to a new environment where all they had was him. And so we're trusting that this is part of God's process in Will's life, and we know that he continues to pursue him. And we don't, you know, again, we don't know what the results will be, but we're just learning to trust that God's continuing to do his work and that even these things can be used and are part of his plan to work in his life.
Yeah, and I'm just, like, really grateful that you would share that. I feel like sometimes people would come up here and have great stories of times that the Lord really worked, and it's all are already done. So the lesson's already been learned, and it's easy to say, trust God, look at how he was faithful. It's a lot harder to come up and say, trust God, as I am also still needing to trust God, you know, and to not feel like that's something that we mm-hmm. can't talk about just because the results aren't, quote, in, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm just really proud to be able to be up here with you as you share that. For one. And also, I'm just really encouraged by that verse in Isaiah that says, behold, I'm making all things new. Mm-hmm. And as Jenna shared leading worship, just still celebrating what we talked about on Easter of resurrection life found in Jesus. I think if God could turn the death of Jesus Christ into the greatest victory we've ever seen, how much more can he turn mm-hmm. our current circumstance and the circumstances that you guys are facing into a victory? And a major win. And I'd say that is a God that is definitely worth submitting to and surrendering to, right? Mm-hmm. So that's the bottom line then, to surrender to God in parenting of all forms.
Yep, and just to learn that he's trustworthy, that mm-hmm. we can put our faith in him when we don't even know exactly what the final result is going to be. Mm-hmm. And using that group project analogy again, we had talked about this, like, nobody likes to be a project. Like, nobody likes to be like, you're getting together with me to work on me. And I don't think our kids like that. And I don't like
that.
I
wouldn't like it.
There's times I haven't wanted to have a quiet time because I feel like, oh, God's going to work on me now, and I got to be reflective and think about what's wrong and figure it out. And to just realize, no, he just wants to spend time with me. He wants to be in relationship with me. And knowing that God's responsibility is the result frees me up to actually enjoy my kids because I don't have to think, you're my project, what do I do next?
Because
I'm a project too.
and so are you. I love that aspect of the group project analogy because, yes, we are partnering with God in investing in kids or our spiritual kids, and but at the same time, he still needs to do work in us. So we're projects and workers together with God, and we all need somebody investing in us. So it's not like an intimidating thing to be still in process and to be a project.
Yeah.
As we close, I was thinking it would be really cool if you could pray for the biological moms, the adoptive moms, and the spiritual moms, because we have all three of those in our church, and we would just really love if you could pray individually for each of these women that have those callings on their life.
Okay, sounds good. Dear Father, I want to thank you for your perfect timing in our lives. I want to thank you that you're trustworthy and that we can learn to listen to your voice and we can learn to surrender to you. I want to pray for the biological moms in this room, those who would like to be and are not yet, and those who are and didn't think they were ready, and those who are just in the middle of it and happy to be there. Father, I pray that they would see your hand in the timing of where they're at in their life right now. Father, I pray that you would bless them and their children, that you would help them understand each other. For those who are waiting, I pray that you would bless them in their waiting with patience and peace from you. And Father, I pray for those who are adoptive mothers here, for the special gift you've given them of parenting a child that they didn't bear, but one that they've prayed for and waited for. I pray you give them special wisdom to understand the parts of the story that they don't know and that their child doesn't know about their background, and that they could deal with any of the hurts or the loss that could come from that, and that you would build a strong relationship between them. Father, I pray that you would be with those who are spiritual mothers, that they would have wisdom to know how to input into the lives of these people that they're walking alongside, that they would have wisdom and knowledge and grace from you to speak truth and to love and to just walk as Christ before these other people you've brought in their lives. Father, I pray that all of us could just be learning to surrender to you. You're good. You're trustworthy. And we know that all the days planned out for us have been written before even one of them happened. And so we know we can trust that you have a big plan and that you know how to accomplish it. And so we just put ourselves in your hands and we trust you. In Jesus' name, amen.